You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Close Up. I'm your co-host, Justin.
And I'm Joe. Today, we're talking about another anime. This time, Beastars. Season 4. I'm going to say Season 4, not Season 3, Part 2, because...
It's dumb.
I don't believe in that delineation for this. But I might refer to it as Season 3, Part 2 in the title, just for official sake. But anyway, Beastars Season 4. Said it again. Deal with it. Okay, so what is your background on Beastars? We have talked about this on one of the old Leisure Lists you did.
I think so. I can't even remember which season I talked about.
Probably season 2 or 3, maybe even first one.
It could have been.
By the way, this will just be full spoilers for all 4 seasons of Beastars.
So, I watched the show. And I enjoyed it. And then I passed it on to you and said, Joe, it's the last season's coming out. You better watch it. And then we can review it.
And since January, I have been watching a steady stream of Beastars. I've watched all 48 episodes now.
Is that all there is? Yeah, I guess that's it.
Yep. And I've had a very rocky road with this show, I will say. Season 1 I watched and thought, you know, that's good. It's not really for me, but that's good. But I guess I have to keep going because podcast. Okay, so I said Season 1. Yeah, that's worth a watch. That was good. I'll probably never watch it again, though. Season 2. Picard, palm in his forehead. It's just getting more painful. It took the things I liked about Season 1. And reduced them, and took the things I didn't like about season 1, and amplified them. It was kind of painful, but still thematically interesting. Fine, I guess I have to keep going. This one's, if you put on in the background, it's entertaining enough. Fine. Okay. And then season 3, part 1 hit. And I really like this. I'm like, wow, you're finally doing the parts I enjoy. This, things are moving. Things are... The tension's cranked up. You got a genuinely great villain in here in Melon. This is awesome. This is actually a pretty darn good season. And then part 2 hit. Back to Picard. Facepalm.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of this one again. So, yeah, I think... A few good scenes don't make up for plotting pacing and unsatisfying resolutions. Season 4 is rough. Not necessarily all around. I enjoyed a lot about it as it was going. But the conclusion really just solidified everything I had a problem with up till that point and magnified it in retrospect.
Yeah, I think... If the conclusion pulled it off in a relatively, you know, good amount of time, it would have been okay. But the slowdowns in the middle, now retroactively, I'm like, that you could have shortened that to give you more room at the end.
There was one particular bit I saw somebody mention, and it exacerbated all my previous frustrations. Is that we watched this entire season, really 2 seasons worth, of the drama club putting on this play, or preparing to put on this play, only for the finale to have, like, one shot where they all take their bows and say the play was a success in voiceover. Yeah. All that, and we don't even see a single scene of the play, and we took 24 episodes to build this thing up and taking screen time away from everybody else. Just for a one or two shot resolution with a voiceover. What a waste of time.
Well, at least they got a one or two shot. The Shishigumi got nothing. We don't know what happened to them at all.
Juno got her resolution and didn't even show her face.
Yeah. It just felt so rushed at the end.
Gohan got nothing either. We saw one shot of him in the finale and it wasn't even in the epilogue. So we don't know what happened with the black market either. Yaya and Gosha didn't get a resolution either. We just saw them kind of look at Louis and Legoshi and say, you know, those kids look like B-stars.
We don't even know if they became B-stars.
Nope.
The ending just went, boom, 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 here's your resolutions. And I'm like, this didn't resolve anything for me.
And by the way, sorry for our pronunciations. I say I'm how I say I'm. I'm not good at these pronunciations, but I'm giving them a try. yeah. So, and then there's other things, like there's that big fight with all the core gangs, right? And then, so like Legoshi was fighting that fox lady. And then that fight just abruptly stopped when he's fighting Melon. And I'm like, what? There's just stuff happening off screen now that I don't even know why. We're just abandoning entire fight scenes.
I don't know if it was off screen. I was under the impression that she saw him kind of sticking up against Melon and just kind of backed off. But it was very abrupt.
It was so abrupt that I have to fill in the gaps myself. And then later she just shows up with the rest of the leaders. I'm like, oh, so A, it wasn't a fight to the death, even though it looked pretty deadly. And B, I have to assume you just backed off and weren't just beaten fair and square. Like, I know Legoshi took her and threw her over his shoulder, you know, slammed her on the ground. And I'm like, okay, he was winning.
Well, he got her away from Melon. They all shared one brief scene there where he got her out of his line of fire, basically, and then she just kind of like disappeared. You're like, okay, yeah.
But that's the stuff I have complaints about. I want to see if you're showing me this fight and all this epilogue afterwards. I want to see at least how the fight played out. And I think it would have been okay if this had been a 40-minute finale. If this had been a double length episode,
it just needed more breathing room.
But no, they try to squeeze the entire climax of the story in 12 minutes and then leave another 12 minutes for a denouement, which couldn't even get to 90% of the characters.
What does that mean?
Like falling action after the climax where everyone's licking their wounds, reflecting. Mm. Preparing for the new status quo. In writing parlance, that's what a denouement is.
I guess, see, that's why I felt like the earlier stuff should have been, if they needed more room to expand the climax than the finale, they could have cut stuff earlier that was taking way too long.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, they just really needed double time. Oh, yeah, then the other things like that drug plot line went absolutely nowhere. There's that whole bit we see in the last few seasons of that little weasel guy making the drugs, and they stuck the drugs in the meat, and Melon was like, oh, I got a big surprise for you at the candle lighting ceremony. And, like, the drugs just disappeared.
Never came up. Oh.
Yeah, I didn't understand what was going on there. That was just a lot of time the last two seasons for nothing. Oh, yeah, and then Haru and Legoshi never lit their candle together either. We never even got to see that. And that's something that extra bugged me because they didn't get to do it in season one either. This is something we nearly got to see them do four seasons ago, and we still never saw that resolution.
Oh, man.
Even with a big buildup.
Well, I don't know if it was the same meat with the drugs, but they had the artificial meat with that was made with a little bit of real meat.
Which was never resolved.
They never got there. Like, I thought that was what Louis was going to call him out for on the stage, the mayor, and then he didn't. He didn't even use that as part of his argument against the mayor.
He just said, you're just very corrupt and taking and taking bribes and like, okay.
That never came up. It was not relevant. I was like, oh, okay, all right.
I guess because Louis's been established as thinking that the black market, when done ethically, isn't a bad thing.
Well, maybe that's why, is that he thought maybe that that's an okay idea.
Yeah, he didn't want to...
Because he does, I think he does believe that the black market is a necessity.
When run more ethically than he was raised.
Mm.
Like, he was raised to basically be meat there, but when it's kind of done, okay, yeah, it is animals who died early or donated themselves like an organ donor sort of thing or whatever. When it's meat that wasn't hunted or raised for that purpose, okay, carnivores can satiate themselves there and maybe protect society a little better. It's nearly like, what are they called? Those drug sites where, safe injection sites, mm-hmm. sort of. It's like a safe injection site for carnivores.
I guess so, yeah.
Is how Louis seems to think about it.
Well, that's the funny thing, is that they already have the sort of same thing in place. Like, thinking about this season, all the dogs went to the that room where it shot the ball out, and they got their
yeah. That's one of the best scenes in the season. I love that sequence.
But it's like, okay, you've already got that set up for all the animals to get their urges out. Why is it that they don't have something like that for meat, which they need?
Is just the black market, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's some stuff like that. Another thing that bugged me about the finale was the way he took down the lion, where he like basically bit his neck. And I'm like, didn't Legoshi make a huge deal about not wanting to use his fangs in combat? I know they're like fake fangs and he ripped out his fangs last season, but I don't think he's ever finished a fight with his teeth since that Shishigumi boss in season one.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like made a big deal about not using his fangs, and I don't think he really needed to there. He didn't even use his fangs on Melon.
No.
And then I'm like, okay, so why out of nowhere in a casual scene are you just going back on something you've made a stink about in the past? Don't get it. Oh, and Yaya just being completely useless. Like, okay, so you're the B-star. You've been investigating Melon this whole time, making us think that, oh, maybe Legoshi's framed for murder and you're going to believe it for absolutely no reason, and only for him to not capture Melon, have or the mayor, or do anything of value except Aura Farm in the first half. That's it. Like, everybody says, yeah, he's the biggest badass, that B-star, and then he does nothing.
Yeah.
He broke his leg in season 3, part 1, and that was it.
And that's it, I'm retired.
Intimidated Legoshi a little bit. Kinda pathetic there. I didn't care for that.
Mm.
Let's see. I have a list of more BS. Just a few more things that bothered me. There was that whole scene about when he thought he ate Haru, and it was just tomato juice. And I'm like, okay, I knew it wasn't going to be a thing, but you had it all as a cliffhanger. You had the bloody rags next to him. Fine, I can understand why you wanted to have this scene where he's like, oh no, maybe my worst fear came true. I like slept next to her without being that anxious actually this time. And oh, maybe I did something. But I'm like, I know that's not going to be how Haru goes out this time. I know for a fact you dragged it out and then it was just tomato juice. It just sucks. I'm like, I knew you're going to pull the rug out from under me, but it's such a lame way to do it. There's also that one time he literally had Melon in hand.
Yeah, that was.
And somehow let him escape. That was also
kind of painful.
That was outright infuriating. Yeah. And then there was him waltzing into that tattoo parlor the second time, seeing all these bodies, the cops show up, he runs.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, another stupid decision, Legoshi. Fine. And then what bugged me even more was after that, when the little mouse told him, hey, you're wanted for murder. And he basically has zero reaction. He's just like, okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm with my girlfriend here. Can you just not? Can you not?
This is a casual Tuesday for me, okay?
And then he hands him that thing. Okay, well, basically, when you care, here's where you can find me. And then Legoshi has to go there next episode. When it finally clicks in. Oh, wait, you're that wolf that's wanted for murder? I'm what? Ah! Legoshi! Just shake my fist at this guy for 48 episodes.
But didn't you think the sunglasses disguise was perfect? Come on, nobody could tell it was him.
Degoshi. Can't even tell. That is most of my frustrations for this season. I don't know if you have any more to add, but...
No, I think that about covered it.
There is maybe a few more gripes, but the rest is... Oh, yeah, sorry. Now, just like general technical issues, they're definitely showing a smaller budget this year.
Most definitely. Like, even the, especially the first two or three episodes, I found were the worst for it, but like, the animation was like...
noticeably less frames
per second. It just felt like... like they rushed it together, some of the sections. But I noticed when it came to more important sections, it was very polished. They had the important sections polished, but everything else, at least for the first like two or three episodes for sure, was just so wooden and stiff. Yep. I was like, I because it'd been a while since I'd seen Beastars, I had to go back and check. I'm like, maybe it always looked like this. No, I watched a whole episode from season one and it looked fine. I watched another episode from season three and it was fine.
Season three was the best one up to that point. Mm-hmm.
That's why I checked. I'm like, maybe it was different in season one. Maybe it was different in season three. No. It was exclusive to this season.
I also found it was just a lot less stylized.
Mm-hmm.
There's different kinds of animation styles or just interesting artistic visions for certain scenes. It just felt a lot more basic and just not as creative and lower budget in its presentation. I was also pretty disappointed with the music too, which up to that point had been one of my favorite things about Beastars. It had this really cool jazzy vibe that kind of... that heightened every scene very, very well and kind of created this playful tone with a seedy underbelly. And I didn't really get that in season four. It reminded me a lot of Twin Peaks, actually, because that's how they use their score in that show, too. And, you know, I love Twin Peaks' score a lot, and I love Beastar's score for the same reasons. And then season four was just like, where did this vibe go? I'm just feeling the melodrama from the acting and the script, but the music is not hitting me really at all this season. It's just kind of there. So definitely a downgrade from the tone of previous seasons. Yeah. So
well, I'm wondering if that's why when season three, the first part of season three came out,
yep,
it was labeled as the final season.
Yes.
And then it got nowhere near completion. And you're like, okay, so there's a season three part two. I wonder if that was a Netflix thing, as like season two didn't do very good. And they're like, okay, you wrap it up in one season. And they're like, yeah. One season of 24 episodes. Or they pushed out 12 really good episodes and then... and then 12 episodes that they made on like a shoestring budget, basically.
Just to finish it off.
I wonder if that's why. Because I found it really odd that it was season three. The minute it came out, the minute it was there, it was called the last season.
Yep.
And it was like, it's nowhere near done.
Yeah. Now, I think maybe they knew there was going to be some backlash coming, because in my research for this, I've noted that a lot of people seem to forgive season 3, part 2, because they say, well, the manga ended even worse. So at least...
Oh, really?
Apparently, the manga just had a total nosedive in the back quarter. So basically where the season starts. So they had a lot of trouble adapting the source material and making it work even this well. Fans of Beastars as a property say, well, you know, for what it's worth, they did a lot better than the manga. So we'll take it.
That's painful.
As somebody who just watched this show, I have my opinion, but people who, yeah, they seem a little bit more forgiving of it for that reason. I can't get there myself because I'm just judging it as this one thing, and I think the ending was not that satisfying, but as an adaptation, it seems like they at least improved upon the source material.
Well, what I'll do...
So that's something.
I'll read the manga.
Okay.
And then I'll get back to you guys on it.
Okay.
It might take me a while, but I'll get back to you on it.
Yeah. Apparently it's got a legendarily bad final quarter. Just.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So. Yeah. What worked though? I think the character relationships are still the most interesting part of the show. I love Louis and Legoshi, their brotherhood forming a little bit better every season. I love the way that they are still bonded by Legoshi eating Louis's leg,
mm-hmm.
which they set up pretty early on that, okay, when carnivores eat their prey, they have a spiritual bond with them forever, basically. It happened when Legoshi ate the moth. It happened when Riz ate Tem. They are just sort of connected forever. Except it's very rare that the herbivore actually survives the encounter. So I don't think in the world of Beastars, it's very common for them to have this, like, oh, the herbivore can feel when Legoshi's in pain too. And they're just, they have this dyad bond. Usually it's just a one-way connection. But, yeah, their friendship is very nice. I like that they're still bonding. I also liked how they started bringing some old character relationships full circle. Like, I can't remember the last time we saw Louis and Haru interact.
Yeah, that's true. They probably back to, like, the first season, maybe even.
I think so. I think they had an interaction at the Meteor Festival in season one, and then they didn't. I don't think they've seen each other in 3 years. So to see them come back was nice. I like that he had to kidnap her. That was a pretty funny. I'm like, oh, I thought he was just actually going to let her walk away. And then the next episode, hey, well, you kidnapped me. That wasn't very nice. Yeah. Also, Legoshi and his friends as well. The dogs. We haven't seen him really interact with them since season two either. So, hey, that's nice. We're bringing his friends back. I also liked Haru giving Juno advice that one time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, like you guys have had a couple good scenes together and it's been a while. So they're kind of paying off those relationships we haven't seen much of in a while. The themes of the show were also still strong. They're interspecies relationships and basically just allegory for mixed race relationships and the societal stigmas that brings, even more so the offspring of those mixed race relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Previous seasons had a lot to do with interspecies coupling, but this season was specifically about the children of them and the struggles they face in society. Which is kind of funny to me that people seem to care a lot more about the interspecies marriage and less so that a lot of these interspecies marriages produce eugenics level super animals.
Like Melon is doubly fast, basically.
Because he's a gazelle and a leopard. Legoshi has a stupidly big, like, great sense of smell and, like, Komodo dragon poison resistance. Which nobody else has. He's even bigger than most wolves and more vicious for that. I'm like, okay, they're kind of superhuman. Most of these mixed kids. So I think the show in general is a fan of mixed relationships. Even though society in general is down on it, they're like, no, these are like the best of both worlds. And that's part of the subtext as well, is like a lot of Haru's arc, and I guess Legoshi's too, is trying to see ways in which a mixed child can work. Because they kind of see Melon as a horror story. Like, hey, you're really powerful, but you're also really scary, and the stigmatization turn you into a cruel person. But I think a turning point for Haru was when she saw Gosha. And it was like, oh, you're Legoshi's grandfather? He never mentioned that he was mixed, even. And that family was a struggle, but, you know, you and your wife made it work. And that was like, hey, this can work. It was an example that she never really had before. So that was...
Yeah, that's true, because, like, even though they weren't mixed, like herbivore and carnivore, but... He was still dangerous to be around his wife.
Yeah.
Which he ended up killing her.
Yeah. But Haru doesn't really care about that, because her worldview is always, well, yeah, I could die any day, but I'm just happy to be alive today.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that Melon sort of latched on to that. He's like, hey, you're different than other herbivores. His obsession with her was interesting, but didn't really go anywhere. Unfortunately,
I think it went a long way to like push the meaning behind it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it didn't go anywhere with the story, really, other than leading Legoshi closer to Melon, even though he was going to go after him anyways. It just sort of brought Haru into the mix, where she got like sidelined for the whole last season or whatever.
Yeah. I still think it was, they still sidelined her a bit too much, or just made her a plot device.
Mm-hmm.
I think this show handles a lot of its female characters with a lot less care than its male characters. Like, I really just think of Juno and Haru, and then like every other character is, I don't know, and Juno and Haru are kind of defined by their relationships. Whereas everybody else kind of has different things going on.
Yeah, they don't really have... Yeah, they don't have that much going on their own, really.
Like, I enjoy them. I like them. They have some depth to them, for sure. They're not bad characters. But I can tell the show cares less about them than a lot of other ones.
Mm-hmm. The show cares more about Pina than Haru.
Yeah.
He's just a side character. He's a bit character.
He's just a bit character who sleeps around and is very vain. And
he's just a bit character. Why do we know more about him than Haru?
I know, right?
Ugh.
But yeah, you know, live together is kind of the theme, I guess. All the Zoolympics talk and that sign they did. Live together is posted everywhere. It's like a subliminal message this season.
It's not very subtle.
No.
But that's okay.
They're on season 4. They can lose a little subtlety, I guess.
If you don't get it by now, you definitely will by season 4.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, one, I will double back and say one creative thing I did like, though. Kind of skipping all over the place. But going back to Haru and Melon, the obsession there. We complained earlier about that scene where he had him in hand, but I also did like how it was executed in that they're both thinking of Haru and
that was
kind of combining.
It's that, like, was very interesting.
Like, oh, well, maybe I should go to jail and see what that's like, or I could get out and find her. I gotta bring in Melon for her. And then it like connects. So, you know, to walk back what I said about that scene being bad and also that there isn't much creative animation, there were a couple of memorable bits.
I think the most memorable parts were any scene that involved Melon, basically. He was by far the standout of the season.
I love the way he moves. His animation is uncanny and creepy.
And did you notice that coming to the last episode, he bulked up like crazy?
I can't say I noticed that specifically.
So my thinking is that he was eating, like when he was doing the devourings, he was like basically protein, giving himself roids. But because he was like really big by the end of the last episode, like he was huge. Like he actually looked like he had enough strength to take on Legoshi.
Wow.
Because I was sitting there, because he was very nimble and gazelle-like before, and then I noticed it, I'm like, oh, he's getting bigger. Like, they bulked him up. Then that was also when the spots came through, right?
Yes, so I did notice his spots were a lot more visible.
Yeah, like it all on one side of his body, basically. The spots popped up, like, everywhere, but then he was also, like, huge. I was like, okay, this is interesting. He's taking on more of the carnivore build.
Yeah. So I think one more thing this season struggled with for me was its melodramatic tone. It very much this whole time had its final season, so we gotta take it seriously energy now that I see in a lot of final seasons. Like, the levity that was in this show before, it's not gone, but it's seriously diminished. And that definitely impacted my enjoyment. It just feels a lot more heavy. But it's a message I've seen them do before on this show. And they're still dragging it out and thought spiraling and changing their minds constantly. So the annoyances I already have with the show, coupled with doubling down on the melodrama and heavy aspects, it didn't make the season a slog, but it made it harder to get through and made the ending a lot harder to stomach when it didn't resolve very thoroughly at all. It all came together in a frustrating package. Not devoid of creative or artistic merit, but, you know, for me, it's a put on in the background season.
Yeah. If Melon's on screen, pay attention. Otherwise,
Melon's on screen, pay attention. Yeah. Or Louie. I like everything.
Louie was good too this season. He's always good.
I know he's just like an animated deer, but he oozes charisma. He's very watchable.
Yeah, I was really hoping coming to the end. I was really hoping they were going to leave it. And then be like, yeah, there's a movie coming for the finale or something.
Yeah, that would have
been. To wrap up everything.
That would have been ideal.
Or a special, I don't know.
Something. Yeah.
I just think there was a lot left dangling.
That's the thing is, I think this show is good on a scene-by-scene basis. I enjoy a lot of what I see in these 12 episodes. But it's kind of painful to me sometimes, episode by episode, and definitely as a whole, just plays with my patience and doesn't pay off. Not well enough. I mean, like, the core is resolved. Like, okay, Louie and Legoshi are the main characters. They got their resolution. Haru got her resolution. She ended up with Legoshi. Yay, we clap, which, whatever. It's nice. It got an ending. It just wasn't, you know, they set up a lot more about the world and the side characters that we didn't get to see pay off. Except in the most surface detail. Oh, and then Louie broke up with Juno. Pissed me right off.
In a 5-second scene.
Where you don't even see her face.
Yeah.
Two of my favorite characters just shakes fist at TV.
Now, this was your first experience with Beastars.
Yep.
What did you think of the animation style.
Bit uncanny and slightly off-putting at first, but I got used to it by the end of season one and never really thought about it again after that.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got used to it, it was good.
To me, it felt like the first time I watched the Clone Wars. When yes, I was like,
that's a good comparison. Eh? You're like, it's not like other things.
It's not. Yeah, it's definitely a unique style. I don't think it's bad, though.
No.
To me, I think I'm pretty sure I've heard that this was sort of a test for that type of animation. Like, the studio as a whole was made for this type of animation. They've never really done it before. I think they use it for portions of it, because it's just 3D CGI.
Yep. I don't think there's anything I saw in here that couldn't have been done in a 2D style.
No, but I think that's the thing, is 3D is faster. Like, a lot of animes you'll see when there's scenes of like big stuff happening, they'll go 3D CGI because it's much faster to handle lots and lots of characters and lots of setting elements. It's very easy to run that when you've got the elements built already, versus 2D takes actually more time now. So
interesting.
I think it's a time saver. But that could be maybe the studio is a lot smaller than other studios because of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it works. It works for what they're using it for. I wouldn't watch every show if it was done like that, but
no, it's not going to sell me on a show right away. Like, it's got to have a good concept, but I think it's okay to as a style. Like when it's done right, it works really good. Like when you've got characters with distinct movements, like the way Melon moves and Legoshi, and you know, each character kind of has their distinct movement that really works with the animation style.
Yeah.
So
it adds some extra details. It's a generally well detailed show. It's in its environments and its characters. I appreciate a lot about it for sure. And like I said, I settled in pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
It took me most of the first season. But after that, I never thought about it much again. I just enjoyed what I saw.
Yeah, because I'm...
Or critique more general artistic choices, not involving the style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think if this style becomes, you know, more acceptable for people, we'll have access to a lot more stories to be made that wouldn't usually get made. Like, I don't think Beastars was popular enough to become a full-fledged, you know, 2D animated anime. I don't think it's that big of a manga. Okay. And knowing that the ending isn't very good probably doesn't help that either.
But this was cost effective enough to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then that sounds like a good selling point. More stuff of decent quality is never a bad thing. If that's all it takes for them to say, to green light more things that could be good, sure, mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Yeah, because it's always good having an adaptation of things. Like,
it also puts a little less pressure on manga writers to put the absolute best thing ever and work themselves to the bone. And
they'll still do it.
Yeah, of course they will. I mean, that seems like it's a bit of the culture, but it's also, okay, well, if we can adapt mid-tier stuff now, then we don't have to... I mean, maybe that's a bad thing. Maybe I'm digging a bad point here.
Yeah, well,
but it,
usually the process is they write a novel version, and then it goes to manga, and then from the manga it'll go to an anime. So if it's popular as a written version, you can get your manga made, and then if your manga is popular, you get the anime.
It's a three-tier step, huh?
Yeah, but sometimes there's exceptions to the rules. Sometimes it just starts as a manga, sometimes it just starts as an anime. But the most common is book, manga, anime.
Hmm.
Which I think is probably the most solid way to do things, because you've had three passes on it to get to the most widely accessible version.
I guess that's why anime is generally of a certain quality. It's been proven two times before, mm-hmm. a lot of it. Yeah. All right, well, that is my thoughts on Beastars. Any more to add? Say your piece or forever hold it.
I don't know. Yeah, no, I still quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Do you have a general rating for the whole show?
I've been back and forth on it, but I'd say the whole show, I'd still give it worth a watch, but like barely. There's a lot that bothers me about it, but thematically, it's a pretty rich series that way. The voice acting is really fun. I listen to subs, not dubs, just for the record. But yeah, subtitles. You listen to dubs?
You're a dub guy? I listen to the dub, yeah.
Okay, so we're coming at this differently.
Yeah.
Should have established that up top.
Interesting.
But yeah, I like the subs voice actors anyway, the Japanese ones. I like the visual art style, some creative stuff. The music was good for most of the show. Like, there's a lot of good in here. It just really tests your patience. And, you know, I think the right people love it. I understand that. For me, not really my thing. Not something I'm ever going to rewatch. Once is enough. So worth a watch as an overall series, but put on in the background for season 3, part 2.
As an overall, I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I actually can see myself rewatching the whole series. Maybe not soon, but in a while. Maybe if like I read the manga or something and then I'll be like, you know what? Now I want to watch the anime again. Maybe.
Yeah.
But this is season 3, part 2 is the weakest season by far. So I'm not going to be looking forward to watching that part, but I'll still do it.
Yeah, for me, it's on par with season 2, which I didn't really like either.
Yeah, season 2 was just a little bit of a disorganized mess, but it had a lot of good parts to it too.
Yeah, I just think my thing with Beastars is that the entire show is build up and the resolution didn't work for me. So that's got to lower it a whole ranking anyway, even though I liked 2 out of 4 seasons quite decently. Like, season 3 is definitely rewatchable. Season 1 is the most self-contained. I enjoyed it for what it, I might even enjoy it more on rewatch now that I kind of know what I'm getting into with it. So, yeah, that's Beastars. And where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram at jchurchtpm.
And you can find me on Instagram at ThoughtPlane Media. Also, check out ThoughtPlane.ca for a feed of everything we do for free. All right. So that's it for this week. Come back. Well, I guess we're doing one next week for Project Hail Mary. So we're getting you a bonus one earlier than usual. That's all for this week. Till next time.
I turned Joe into a furry. Bye.
I'm not going to deny it.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.